Okay, let's cross now to Canberra and speak with Kerri-Anne Walsh. Kia ora, Kerri-Anne.
Yes, good morning, Ingrid.
Now, another teenager has been shot dead by police over there in Perth, which they're saying has the hallmarks of a terrorism event.
Yes, they haven't quite, the police haven't designated it a terrorism event. They're not quite as quick off the mark as New South Wales was when there was an incident also involving a teenager at a church in Sydney a couple of weeks ago. And the police commissioner there, Karen Webb, is under a lot of pressure over that quick designation of it being a religiously motivated terrorism event. So in Perth, the authorities have held back. They're not prepared to say that until such time as they have more information, but this young lad had been in a de-radicalisation program since he was 2014. This is the tender age between 14 and 19 when we're seeing Australian youth who are particularly vulnerable to online radicalisation, and there's a lot of it going on. It's something that was referred to by our ASIO chief, our spook chief, Mike Burgess, in an address about 2 or 3 weeks ago to the National Press Club, that the rising level of vulnerable youth that are being targeted by online radicals is a serious problem for Australia and one that we are late to the party in terms of tackling. So the number of these de-radicalisation programs are slim. And this is something that Anne Arleigh, an MP, a federal MP, and a counter-terrorism and de-radicalisation expert, has been pressing since she's been in Parliament for half a dozen years, which is that we need to take this seriously. It's a growing problem and a threat to Australian society. And she's so far been a voice in the wilderness. But the state of these sorts of attacks in the last month and the arrests in Sydney, which now amount to 8, suggests that this is something that we now have to start looking at seriously for our young men.
That is a worry, yes. Now, your governments, you've got a budget next week, and there are going to be some measures in there to alleviate youth and student poverty. What might they be?
Well, there'll be a number of things. There'll be two main ones. The skyrocketing level of HECS debts, student debts, is something that is really besetting and snookering our young people who choose tertiary education. So many of them face debts for the rest of their lives, basically, to pay the Commonwealth back. And it's been pegged to the Consumer Price Index, or rather inflation. But now it's going to be pegged, if it's the lower, to the wages price index, which means, for instance, last year when inflation hit 7%, but the wages growth was only 3.5%. So their debt level would only have increased by 3.5%. So that's a measure. It's a small one, but it's a measure that they believe will make a difference. The other one is that those who are undertaking frontline studies, for instance, nursing, midwifery, they will have a payment, a living payment made to them when they're doing their practical blocks. So for some of those, there's been what's known as prac poverty, because when they go on placements, they're not paid. And the placements can be last for up to 3 months. So now they're going to be paid a living wage, and that is going to be a significant factor in encouraging other young people into those disciplines.
Well, be interesting to see the details on those policies. Thank you very much. As always, that is Kerri-Anne Walsh, our Canberra correspondent. That is us for the day. Have a great day out there, Mā te wā. We will catch you back here at 6 tomorrow morning.